Well, good afternoon, or good morning still, I guess. You guys came back. Thank you for that. If we could take our Bibles and open them to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38. Ezekiel chapter 38. And the title of this session is The Middle East Meltdown. And as we're going to see, it's a meltdown only from the human point of view. When you look at it through the lens of God's Word, it's not a meltdown at all. Things are not falling apart, they're falling into place, as we're going to see. I'm going to read to you, if I could, the first seven verses from Ezekiel 38. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. I will turn you about. I will put hooks into your jaws, and I will bring you out and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them splendidly attired, a great company with buckler and shield, and all of them wielding swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Put, with them, all of them shield and helmet. Gomer with all its troops. Beth Togarmah from the remote parts of the north, with all its troops, many peoples with you. Be prepared and prepare yourself, you and all your companions that are assembled about you, to be a guard for them. But one of the things that we're trying to talk about in this session is what I like to call the Middle East meltdown. And what the prophet Ezekiel is seeing is a coalition of nations coming against the nation of Israel in the end times. It's a scenario that, as you look at it, it seems like it's coming right out of our newspapers. And one of the things to understand about the book of Ezekiel is one of our two exilic prophets. And that means he prophesied during the days of the Babylonian exile. So Ezekiel is located about 350 miles to the east of Jerusalem in a place called Babylon. The Babylonian deportation has started. Here's another map that sort of shows you where Ezekiel was. He was outside of his homeland, as the Jews were during this difficult time of exile. And it's during this time of exile that the Lord revealed to him this scenario. This coalition coming against the nation of Israel in the end times. It's probably a prophecy that Ezekiel himself wanted to understand, but couldn't. And my goodness, as we look at our world today, it's almost as if history has caught up with the time period Ezekiel predicted. The book of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, When the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under law. Jesus was not just dropped into history randomly at His first coming. The whole scenario was set. The stage was set. The Greek language was in place. Thanks to Alexander the Great a few centuries earlier. The Greek language, as you might know, is one of the fullest dialects known to man. In English, we have one word for love. The Greeks have four words for love. So you have in place the richest dialect to record the revelation of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Rome was in power, which meant Pax Romana, Roman peace generally. There were universal Roman roads. So the world was ripe for the rapid transmission of the gospel once Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, and the church began in Acts 2. What I'm simply trying to say is when God moves His hand in history, He sets the stage ahead of time. You know, it's sort of like getting ready to watch an athletic contest. I'm an ex-basketball player. I know my short size gives me away. But you know, you can't just have a basketball game. You have to have somebody come in and sweep the gym floor. You have to have referees come out. You have to have the teams warm up. The bleachers fill up with fans. Someone starts to sell popcorn. And you look at the stage being set and you say, aha, basketball game's ready to start. That's how prophecy works. What Ezekiel saw is a coalition of nations coming against the nation of Israel in the end times. I don't know when this is going to happen, but I do know, and I do believe very strongly, that the Lord is setting the stage for this event as we speak. And this presentation is designed to sort of bring some of these things to our attention. So we're going to try to handle this subject by, first of all, looking at five journalistic questions. These are the questions journalists ask to get to the heart of a matter. And then we'll wrap up our thoughts at the end by taking a look at 7 points of application. In other words, you might be looking at some of these things and say, so what? How does it apply to me? Well, I'll tell you how it applies to you when we get to the end there, the 7 points of application. So what are the standard journalistic questions? Number one, who is involved? Number two, when is this event going to occur? Now, the committee wanted me to focus there on number two, so we'll be spending a lot of time there. Number three, why is this event going to take place? In other words, why are these nations invading Israel in the end times? Number four, what will be the outcome of these things? And number five, how is the stage of our world being prepared as we speak for the fulfillment of these events? So let's begin here with the who question. Who is involved? And those names that I read probably seem very unfamiliar to you. Names like Magog, Rosh, Meshach, Ethiopia, Put, Persia. These are names that don't appear in modern day newspapers. These are names that puzzle us. But I believe that all of these players can be identified. Because when you turn back to Genesis 10, we don't have to turn there now, but you can just make a note of it. Genesis 10, about verses 2 through 8, there is a record there, a table of nations. This is a record of where Noah's descendants settled following the flood. Noah had three sons. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And it's very clear in Genesis 10 that these various people groups descended from these sons of Noah. And as you study Japheth in particular, you'll start recognizing a lot of these names. The names that Ezekiel uses have already been used in Genesis 10. And so what we can do is we can trace where these various people groups ultimately settled. And we can look at the modern nations containing those people groups, and we can document, I think with pretty good accuracy, what nations Ezekiel is talking about. And in my book, The Middle East Meltdown, and this is something I can't go into detail here because this session would go well past lunch, and I don't want to do that, I use some scholarly sources. One of them is Josephus, a first century Jewish historian. Another one is Herodotus, an ancient historian. Another source I use is called BDB, which is a Hebrew lexicon. And I'm very careful at explaining where these various people groups settled and what modern nations contain those people groups. So let me just give you my conclusion on this, and if you want to get into how I get there, the book The Middle East Meltdown is available.